This is CliffCentral.com.
Yenafuna Hamba Kongo. Hey, what's up, everybody? Umar Razalo, aka Mr. Kwan, aka PLIND, and you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show, 12 to 1 p.m. every single Thursday on Cliff Central. It's too short, like me.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Yet again, another one of those really fantastic days. Welcome to it. It's time for another one of those really great days, guys. It's time for the shortest hour of the week. It's the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. I'm hoping that you're feeling great. I'm hoping that you're ready to take on the world, guys. Every single time you listen to the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show live, it means that you're one day away from the weekend. And that could only be some good stuff. I actually have a friend of mine who's making this really cool product. It's hot sauce. It's pretty cool. I discovered it today, and it's a really cool thing. And it just inspired me to say, yo, guys, you know, he makes it from his apartment, but he's starting a business. He's an engineer on the side, but that's the side hustle. But things are going and things are moving. And that's important, that we need to keep moving each and every time, no matter what you're doing. Just keep the hustle going, guys. One way or the other, you need a grind. You need a grind, man. You need to be the salt and the flavor. You need to be the spice. The one, man. You are the one. And that's pretty much one of the things that can keep you going every single time as well. All right, cool. So today, we're going to be chatting about that exactly. I was talking not too long ago, even on Twitter. I mentioned that we're going to have a pretty lady in the studio. But she's not only pretty, but she's also pretty hardworking. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth right there. We're talking about taking the steps to reach the next level in your hustle. There's levels to this hustle thing, you know, and it's important that you go from one level to the next. And we're going to have Kim Jade join us a little bit later on. Obviously, she's got a full name. I will tell you her full her government name in a little bit of a while from now. She probably doesn't really like to roll by the government name, but we're going to expose you today. She's going to be joining us a little bit later on. But I also got my main man, Mr. Smoke Cozy. Smoke, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing, my brother?
Hey, man, everything's good this side, bro. I'm on fire. I'm the salt. I'm the flavor. Yeah. I am the salt of the earth, the light of the universe. That's who I am, man.
That's great, man. That's great.
Yeah,
man.
Look, yeah.
I must say, I had a bit of a challenge. I had a very tough weekend last weekend.
Man.
I went a bit slow. I got a bit fatigued and all of that.
Yeah.
I was a bit slow this week, so I'm hoping that I'm going to pick up as the week ends, and it's not going to happen next week. So yeah, I've been trying to have a good week.
Yeah,
it hasn't nothing has been going according to plan, but yeah, I'm hoping to change things around as the week ends off.
What do you think caused it though?
Look, man, I never had enough sleep.
Yeah,
you and I
club life, rough life.
Yeah, man. You and I have been chatting. I haven't had enough sleep. I just told you this morning as we were driving to the show that I've actually done something about it.
Okay, what have you done about it? Tell us, what do you do when you're like really fatigued and you're like unproductive and just forgetting things? Guys, let me just tell you, Spo has been forgetting everything. This man lost his keys and then he didn't know how to get into his house. He calls me the next day, are my keys at your place? I'm like, where did you sleep? It's like, no, okay, no keys. What else happened? He was supposed to make this proposal for this important client, and dololo, you know, he just rocks up the next day, and he doesn't even rock up on time. And what else happened? Then he cut some new keys, and then we were gonna shoot this really important thing for him, like it was an amazing thing. So now I'm driving him to his place just so that he can get his last few things ready so that we can go to the shoot. And then we arrive at his place after driving for about 15 minutes, and we get there and he's like, I don't know where my keys are. I'm like, again, small, where are your keys? I think I left them at your place. I'm like, this guy, ne, he's nerens vandaag, my bro, he's nerens. Okay, so now you're saying you have done something about it. Tell us what you've done.
Look, I decided, you know, I said with myself, I think it was yesterday, and I was thinking, really, I'm like, no, this cannot happen. You even said to me in the car that, yo, I will not let you slide like this.
Yeah.
You need to do something. Look, I made sure that there's an app on the phone that I downloaded. And obviously I've set my times to sleep and to wake up.
Oh, cool.
Literally. Yeah. So that I can be able to know, you know, I need to take a rest. Because sometimes I know that I need to rest, but because of what I need to do, I end up pushing myself and it actually backfires on myself and I become non-productive.
Yeah.
And I don't do the important things that I'm supposed to do. So the app is actually helping me out for now.
Cool.
And, you know,
how long has it been now with the app?
This is the first day.
Okay. So you don't know if it actually helped you out yet.
Look,
or did you wake up with the app today?
Yes.
Oh, well done.
So
okay.
It's one step.
Okay, one step at a time.
One step at a time.
All right, guys. I mean, if you are also in this turmoil that Spore is in, you can download apps for these things these days and it can help you with your productivity. I think I like that. The fact that you decided, hey, man, I've got a phone that's pretty good. Let me use it to my advantage and let's see how I can be a little more productive.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, sometimes when you got a lot of things going on, I mean, that's part of the journey of the hustle. You got you got your main thing, but then you got a couple of other things also, and you know you can be really, really fatigued after some time. So you deciding to use an app, I think it's not too much of a bad idea, mate.
You know?
Well done. We'll be watching you though, you know. Next week this time we're gonna ask you how this app life has gone, and if you come here looking like you just woke up, we'll know that it's not working.
Now, hopefully it is going to do its job.
Yeah. All right. Cool stuff. Well, all the best with that.
Thank you.
Now, there's some cool stuff that that you decided to feature today. And it has to do with some fashion and trends and all sorts of cool things like that. Right?
Yep. There's something quite trendy that we want to speak about today for the interesting news for you guys at home.
Yeah.
We're just having a look at some of the sneakers that, you know, you would want to have in your wardrobe.
So it's like the top five sneakers.
Sneakers, yes.
To add to your collection this week.
Most definitely. And the first one is a Converse One Star OX Taylor, the creator Golf Wang Sulfur.
Jeez, man.
It's quite a mouthful.
Sneakers have such long names.
Yeah, it's quite a mouthful. That's the first one. And then
the
next
one. The One Star. How much is a One Star?
The One Star.
Yeah.
It's 2,999.
3,000?
Yes.
Jeez, mate.
So that's how much you got to pay to have it.
Like, I mean, Vans is like 500, and I thought, yo, I fancy Atura. Now you're telling me 3,000. This shoe better last. What is 5 times 3? I mean, 3,000. How do you get to 3,000? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. 6 years. It better last 6 years. Okay. Will it last 6 years?
I suppose, depending on how well you look after your sneakers.
3,000 rand is quite some money. What's the next one?
The next one is the Nike Air Footscape. It's called the Woven Chucker. Premium Flex.
Again, another long name.
The Nike Air Footscape Woven Chucker Premium Flex.
Why do these things have such long names? My goodness.
I doubt the people actually who buy these sneakers, they actually know the actual name.
They just like, hey, man, like those ones.
They
man.
Look nice.
They look nice. Those you brown know? Ones with the thing.
Yeah.
And how much are these? 2.3. I see here 2,400. Yep. Well, a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
They look cool though. I must say that they look pretty dope. Reebok AZTEA. Oh, how do I say that? Aztec. Yeah. OG. These look like really old school sneakers. The Reebok sneakers.
Yep. And they cost 1,400 rand. 1,399.
I know. Isn't it lazy to rub a feet? It's not cheap. Now, adding all five of them to your collection, I think, is a bit steep. Okay, cool. What are the last two?
The last two is the Adidas Originals NMD R2 PK. I'm not sure if it says that it's coming from Japan or what, or what's part of the name, but Japan pack. It comes in the color pink. I'm sure you'll be able to choose a couple of other colors, but they look like they're for the ladies.
Okay, and how much they retail for?
They go for 2,899.
Guys, I did tell you, hey, December's rough. If you're going to be getting all five of these sneakers, I know. Okay, cool. The last one. Is this now the best one? Why did you put this one last? Or is it just... It's just top five in no particular order.
Look, it's not in particular order.
Yeah,
and I think
this
brand, I think a lot of people are familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the New Balance 1500s Cumbria.
Probably the shortest names that are all of these.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. For about $2,000 you can get those.
Yeah.
Dip Street. All right.
So yeah, that's the top five collection that if you would like, you have enough ching chang in your pocket, you can go cop some for yourself.
Yeah, now these are like, I mean, they average around 2.5 each. So if it's five, Yeah, guys, yo, it's a lot of money. Yeah, this is 5,000, that's 5,000, 10,000, almost like 12,500 to get five pairs of shoes. Yeah. That's why ladies normally say that guys' things are expensive, because like with ladies, to get five shoes might not be 12,000 rand. Well, obviously, depending on what type of lady you are,
yeah,
levels to this thing.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. So, some other interesting news.
Yes, yeah, among other interesting news, we thought that we should have a look at the five celebrity dads that give us life. So some of the celebrities that have had young ones, you know, maybe starting families and all of that. So the first one on the list, we've got Zix Bandrini and Baby Shaka.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's his son. Yes, son. That the mother, I think it's Nandine Ngoma. What's her surname again?
Yeah, but that one.
Yes, let me not say too much to embarrass myself. But yeah, that's first on the list. And the second is Kabelo Mabalane.
Her name, her surname is now Nandine Madida, because she's married, yeah? Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the second one is Kabelo Mabalane and Zoe. You see, there's a little bit, there's a picture there, a nice cute picture of him and his little daughter. And then on number three, it's AKA and Baby Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Apparently, Zintle was trying to hide his face. Baby Cairo's face. But AKA is like, I'm not the type of dad. Just showing the face there on Insta Greasy. All right, cool. Who's next?
Next on the list is Ricky Rick and Mike.
Oh, I think Ricky Rick has probably been one of the dads who literally just shows off his kids quite a lot. I mean, his album was like Family First, Family Values, and all these type of things. And he's been one of those people who's like, yeah, Baba, I'm not going anywhere. And it's pretty cool to see that though these are people that people normally look up to, you know, and they're hip-hop artists at the same time.
Yeah.
They are showing a type of message to young boys, saying that, hey man, once you get to that fatherhood role,
yeah,
you know, you need to stick around. True. And be there. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, and basically to end off the list that we've managed to put together today.
Yeah.
And at number five, we have Junior the Rocker and Baby Sibahle.
How old is Junior the Rocker?
If I'm not mistaken, is about 25, 24 years old. I'm not sure.
I'll try and find it. All right, cool. But also another one. The child looks pretty young.
Yeah, she is very young. I think the other day when I was on social media, they even showed that the baby's already making some money.
How so?
I don't know. I think they've managed to put together some kind of a deal for the baby, and the mother actually posted that even at this age, your baby can also start making money.
Yeah, I guess things like modeling and those type of vibes. Yeah. The kid doesn't even know that they're modeling. They're just chilling there, and then boom, money just comes in. And yeah, it's cool. Just like how, I mean, DJ Arch Jr. I mean, I think that child has made more money than the parents combined. That if you don't know about him, I mean, DJ Arch Jr. is the youngest DJ in Africa. I think started DJing at around 3 years old. Won SA's Got Talent. And SA's Got Talent comes with its own cash injection.
Yeah.
But then beyond that, Mini Cooper, Mini Cooper gave him a car. Those small nyana Mini Coopers. So he drives around in that Mini Cooper picking up little toddler girls. And there was some money that came with that, because he became an ambassador in a certain sense. Jungle Oats put him on billboards. Like, he's an ambassador for Jungle Oats. He's an ambassador for Guess, like the brand Guess Kids. He's the ambassador. So there's fresh money coming in from that, billboards and all sorts of campaigns that they do. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sure there's more that I'm not even thinking about. I saw him take flights to go and perform in other countries. You know, he even had that little cushion thing that you put around your neck so that you can stay nice and comfy while you're on your flight.
Yeah.
He had one of those. DJ Arch Jr., 3 years old. And he's like, yo, this DJ life, man. Guys, it's amazing.
Yeah.
What people are doing out there. So, you know, if you're expecting, hey, man, your kid might just make you a millionaire, you know. So it might not all be doom and gloom and you having to pay for everything. Maybe 3 years in, the child starts paying for your life. Who knows? Anyway, here's some really cool motivation, and we're back after this.
I don't know what that dream is that you have. I don't care how disappointing it might have been. as you've been working toward that dream, that that dream that you're holding in your mind, that it's possible. That some of you already know that it's hard. It's not easy. It's hard changing your life. That in the process of working on your dreams, you are going to incur a lot of disappointment, a lot of failure, a lot of pain. There are moments when you're going to doubt yourself and say, God, why is this happening to me? I'm just trying to take care of my children and my mother. I'm not trying to steal or rob from anybody. Why did this have to happen to me? For those of you that have experienced some hardships, don't give up on your dream. Their rough times are going to come, but they have not come to stay. They have come to pass.
Greatness is not this wonderful, esoteric, elusive, godlike feature that only the special among us will ever taste. You know, it's something that truly exists in all of us.
It's very important for you to believe that you are the one. Most people, they raise a family, they earn a living, and then they die. They stop growing, they stop working on themselves, they stop stretching, they stop pushing themselves. That a lot of people like to complain, but they don't want to do anything about their situation. And most people don't work on their dreams. Why? One is because of fear. The fear of failure. What if things don't work out? And the fear of success. What if they do and I can't handle it? These are not risk takers.
You spend so much time with other people. You spend so much time trying to get people to like you. You know other people more than you know yourself. You studied them. You know about them. You want to hang out like them. You want to be just like them. And you know what? You've invested so much time in them, you don't know who you are. I challenge you to spend time by yourself.
It's necessary that you get the losers out of your life if you want to live your dream. But people who are running toward their dreams, life has a special kind of meaning.
When you become the right person, what you do is you start separating yourself from other people. You begin to have a certain uniqueness. As long as you're following other people, as long as you're being a copycat, you will never ever be the best copycat in the world. But you will be the best you could be. I'm challenging you to define your value.
That everybody won't see it. That everybody won't join you. That everybody won't have the vision. It's necessary to know that. That you are an uncommon breed. It's necessary that you align yourself with people and attract people into your business who are hungry, people who are unstoppable and unreasonable, people who are refusing to leave life just as it is and who want more. The people that are living their dream of finding winners to attach themselves to. The people that are living their dreams are the people that know that if it's going to happen, it's up to them.
If you want to be more successful, if you want to have and do stuff you ain't never done before, number two, I'm asking you to invest in you. Invest in you.
Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. That you don't have to go through life being a victim. And even though you face disappointments, you have to know within yourself that I can do this. Even if no one else sees it for me, I must see it for myself.
This is what I believe.
What's poppin', and everybody? This is your boy Shane Eagle, and you are tuning into the Unplugged Radio Show right here on Cliff Central.
Or how bad it gets.
All right. Thank you, Shane Eagle, for just photobombing that whole session. I mean, we were out here having a blast. We were getting motivated, and you just come in and have to go, oh, I can't even do that thing. Anyway, so we're still chatting to the lovely lady herself, Kim Jade. Kim is in studio right here. Kim, how you doing?
Hello, beautiful people. I'm so great. How are you doing?
We're fantastic. We're fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Great stuff. So, Kim, short for Kimberly.
Yes, it is.
And Jade is actually your second name.
Yes, it is.
Oh, so you actually have a surname.
Yes, I actually have a surname.
All right, cool. What is your surname?
Robinson.
All right. Kimberly Jade Robinson.
Right? Oh, I love the movie voice. Yes! I'm for it.
Great stuff. So Kim, just describe yourself and say, you know what, this is Kim in the space of, you know, if you had to describe yourself in 30 seconds, who's Kim?
Like, who am I or what do I do? Or both?
Who, like, you say, if I had to leave my fingerprint here, this is Kim.
Okay. This is Kim. Okay. Proudly Zimbabwean, independent, young female that is hopefully proving to everybody back home that if you work hard enough, you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Wow. Proudly from Zimbabwe.
Yes. Born and raised, honey.
Interesting stuff. Now, it's really interesting that you say that because as South Africans, we have our own perception of what goes on in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And here you are and you're not hungry.
I really, if I could reach over and punch you, I would. But
yeah, because I know, I just had to say that as a stereotypical thing, because the reports that people in South Africa get about Zimbabwe versus the people who actually travel to Zimbabwe, totally different
completely
things.
Completely different.
I know many friends who come and go to Zimbabwe. Some of them actually have architecture companies. They're based in Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. Things are going well for them.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily what people think is going down in Zimbabwe, just because sometimes media has its own way of twisting things and saying, of course, guys, it's rough.
Yeah.
No one is allowed to vote for whatever they want to vote for. There's this, there's that, there's that. And yeah, there are some tough things, but there are still some amazing stories that come from the same place.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, as with all media, they love to spread the doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And they love to focus on the political situation. Mm-hmm. I don't want to dwell on that because there's so many good things going on there. There's a lot of entrepreneurs that are born in Zimbabwe and travel the world and do incredible things. And, you know, hopefully one day we'll be able to travel back home and take the expertise that we've gained abroad to home.
Yeah. Now, the cool thing is, you have a unique story because you've started off in Zimbabwe, came to South Africa to study, right? Mm-hmm. That was initially the plan. But before we even go to your trip to South Africa, let's chat
about... My trip, you make it like this voyage, like she went on a ship 5 years, like imprisonment, slavery. No, you make it dramatic.
It was really far.
It was a flight.
It was very far. It was like a long flight. It was two long flights.
Oh, wow. 45 minutes from Bulawayo to Johannesburg and then 2 hours to Cape Town.
It's long.
You guys are so dramatic on this show. I cannot.
It was a lot of kilometers.
Wow. Okay.
Was it not a lot of kilometers?
Okay. Yeah.
Ah, she's defensive. It's okay. All right, cool. It's not really about the distance, but it's more just about the culture shift.
Sure.
Tell us about growing up in Zimbabwe. What were your goals? What were you aiming for? Who did you think you'd be when you were in high school, primary, and just tell us about that life.
Yeah. I grew up in a really small town, Bulawayo. My whole high school had 300 people.
Wow.
Which was shocking because when I went to my first year of university, my first class was Psych 101, and there were 500 people in the class, in the lecture. So from 300 in my entire school to 500 in just one lecture, it was crazy. Mm. Growing up, I was, believe it or not, really shy and really awkward and awkward looking.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah. I grew into it a little bit more when I went to high school and went to boarding school. And anyone that goes to boarding school knows that you have to become really independent real quick.
Yeah.
Because there's no mommy or daddy to help you out.
True.
I got involved in a whole bunch of cultural clubs and societies that forced you to get involved in public speaking. So, you know, that helped me overcome being so shy. And actually, you know, I have a voice and I have something to say and I can say it.
Yeah.
I did not know what I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to work with people. And for the longest time, I thought I wanted to be a psychiatrist and deal with counseling people. And that's why I came here and went into social work.
Yeah. So you went to Cape Town. That's where you studied, right?
Stellenbosch.
Yeah, Stellenbosch.
Yes, okay.
Pretty cool. The land of wine and
wine. There's so much more than just wine and grapes and rugby. They're big into rugby down there.
Wine and rugby. The two staple foods of Stellenbosch. Now, the cool thing is, you're saying that you were first in a school that had only about 300 people in it.
Yeah.
And
all girls.
all girls.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that alone is a different ecosystem totally to everything else.
Completely.
What did it teach you? How did it shape you being in that environment?
I think growing up in a small town, you learn really great morals.
Yeah.
You learn about the relationships you have with people are important. And I grew up very conservative and very old school.
Sure.
You know, please and thank you. And you show respect to everybody from the janitor to the CEO. You know,
wow,
that's how
yeah.
it should be.
Mm.
And I think that has played a really big role in where I am today, because relationships above anything here, well, accompanied with hard work, relationships get you far.
Yeah.
And how you treat people. And people remember you like, oh, she's like, oh, you know.
Mm.
She's good people's, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that was really important.
Pretty cool. Still talking about that, you know, you going to, for instance, Cape Town. Cape Town is a place that has a lot of, I mean, they have a yin and yang. There's really beautiful places in Cape Town.
Yes.
Really rich people in Cape Town.
Yes.
Then there are really bad places in Cape Town. Really, really, really poor people.
I feel like
in Cape
it's
Town.
Like that all over the world.
Yeah, but like it's with Cape Town, it's just so extreme in a way.
You
like
think
you can literally
it's
just cross the road and then boom, you're there in
yeah.
it. And the weird thing is that when you are in the really polished parts, you can't even see a trace of it. There's not even
know.
A beggar on a street in the really, really proper places in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if maybe they get removed or they just know that they're not supposed to be there, so they don't even chill there. But what I mean is, now the outlook of, let's say, the kids from Khayelitsha, from Tafelsig, places that have so much gangsterism
yes.
going on and so much you know, poverty going on, that the mindset of the youth there is that, ah man, like I'm in a trapped system
mm-hmm.
anyway, and
mm-hmm.
they don't have some of them, not
yes.
all of them, don't always have the most positive outlook on the future
yes.
or the future locally. They're thinking maybe the best place is for me to leave this place
yeah.
and that's where I can build a really great future and a career for myself.
Sure.
What was the outlook of the kids from Zimbabwe growing up?
I can speak for myself.
Sure.
I don't want to generalize for everybody else, because everyone, you know, has their own issues and their own views. A lot of people that I know did choose to stay in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
But for those of us whose parents were making enough money,
mm-hmm.
the only option was send us away.
Wow, yeah.
A lot of us left the country in
yeah.
order to get a really great education because unfortunately the degree you get at the University of Zimbabwe is not recognized internationally.
Really?
Yes, due to corruption and bribery and things like that, you know, internationally
wow.
they say they can't trust it. So the answer for us was to go overseas or go to another country. A lot of people came to South Africa, as I'm sure you know, tons of Zimbabweans. We came here. And it's closer to home, and
yeah.
the education standard is really high. So, yeah.
That is actually
the only
quite
option
sad.
Was to leave.
That is quite sad.
It's heartbreaking.
Because, first of all, the when I was in first year, the kids who came from Zimbabwe were just gliding through. Because
oh, yeah.
most of the
you
stuff
did a piece
here,
of cake for us.
You know, exactly. Because the standard of education in Zimbabwe is so high.
It's really high.
That, you know, kids come here and they feel like geniuses. They're like, what?
I mean, we are geniuses, guys. Let's be honest.
Right? Cool. So that's the interesting thing for me, is that how their university feels rigged in a way, whereas you can't go out internationally and say, hey, I got this degree from Zimbabwe, take me seriously, I'm a smart guy.
Mm.
People are like, no, wait, what if you bought it?
Mm.
Like, no,
yeah.
I'm really smart and I can prove it.
And it's,
show me
also
any South African
yeah.
kid, I'll beat them.
Shame. We don't do that. We love you guys.
Oh, good. Yeah?
Yeah, but what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. You see what happens when you talk so much.
Ah, don't worry, don't worry. So then you came to Stellenbosch to
yes.
study?
I got my honors in social work and psychology.
Oh, wow. Fantastic
so
stuff.
So I'm a qualified social worker.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can, you know, sit down with people, have a chat with them, connect with them,
yeah.
help them get over things.
I mean, it's so much more than that. Our degree,
yeah.
you're in the practical field from year one.
Yeah.
So when you're studying psychology, you can only start counseling patients when you've graduated with your honors and then
yeah.
maybe going into masters.
Wow.
With social work, you're working in the field from the very beginning. You're working in the worst, I don't want to say the worst conditions, but the lower income, the most difficult.
Mm.
So we were blessed enough to be working in every different kind of field. So my first year I was working in Hanover Park,
mm-hmm.
and I was with the Big Brother Big Sister organization mentoring children.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second year we were in Paarl and we were counseling people in old age homes.
Yeah.
My third year I worked for the Department of Education and I was the sole social worker for a school mm-hmm. in Strand.
Wow.
And then in my final year I worked at Somerset Hospital in mm-hmm. Greenpoint. So
wow.
Yeah.
And what has this journey taught you?
I think when people ask me this, the most applicable and most real answer I can give them is that going from social work to being in an industry where there's tons of money, tons of luxury, cars, clubbing, none of that appeals to me.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I've seen such poverty and seen such struggle and seen rape victims, people wow. been abused, people attempted suicides. I've seen the harshest of the harshest mm. human conditions that you can be in. And so when I come here, the money and fame is not what, it doesn't impress me. It doesn't do
wow.
anything for me. I like to stay very grounded and humble because I know what real life is like and this isn't real.
Man, if you were South African, you would win Miss SA. Like, amazing. Look at the answers that come from the heart.
It's true, famo.
Right?
Keep like, it real.
It's pretty cool. All right, so then you went and somehow you found yourself now deep in the media industry.
Yes. So what actually happened is while I was studying, I was scouted by uh-huh. a modeling agency in Cape Town, Grace Models. Shout out. And they developed me from nothing. So if you were to look at me, you wouldn't think I would be able to work in the modeling industry. I'm really short
mm-hmm.
And curvy. Mm-hmm. And they were like, nope, we believe in you. And so that's how I started modeling. And I was a full-time model for 5 years in Cape Town.
Wow.
And while I was there, a Nigerian TV station, they call Spice TV,
mm-hmm.
they came to shoot in Cape Town to cover SA Menswear Week.
Yeah.
And they were like, look, it's the day of, we need a presenter, have you got any experience? I said nope. They're like, are you keen to try it out? I was like, yep. And that day I just I found myself, that's how I got my first taste of presenting.
It wow.
was from then on I was hooked.
How were you not scared?
Extremely. Yeah. Extremely nervous because I didn't study this. A lot of people study journalism and they go for classes and they get taught, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. And when I watch those clips back, it's I cringe. I die inside. I'm like, what was I thinking? That's so yeah. not cool.
Wow. Yeah, and that's important sometimes, that when that opportunity comes,
oh, yeah.
sometimes it comes from this weirdest sources. It looks strange. It doesn't even yeah. look legit. It doesn't even look like it's going to take you anywhere. But when that opportunity comes,
you say yes. Hell you, yes.
Yeah. And you, cause you don't see
Jump.
Why not.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I mean, there are so many people who normally look at all the reasons why not before mm-hmm. they look at
I
the reasons
do.
Why too.
Yeah.
And, you could have looked at that and said, I have no experience. I'm yeah. going to embarrass myself.
Yeah, dude, you're on the red carpet. You have cameras following you. You're expected to interview celebrities. And I myself have never been invited to attend Fashion Week.
Mm.
This is my first time.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what to expect. And I went in it with, you know, open heart. And I'm like, look, guys, I'm willing to learn. If I F up, that's life, you know?
Yeah.
Why not?
And the cool thing is that you just opened up and you said, hey, guys, look, mm. let's learn.
Yeah.
Let's learn. Let's fail. Let's learn.
Yeah. Why not?
And it worked out. Wow. So that's where it started. But what happened after that?
By then, I already had a blog that was established.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own fashion and travel blog. It's called Kim Jade.
Yeah.
And I talk about fashion style and things that I like.
Yeah.
And that got me into Joburg. So I came here and I decided I wanted to get a PR company. This is when I was still living in Cape Town.
Okay.
I got a PR company because I saw the importance of being seen at certain yeah. events. People need to be like, who is she? Why is she here? What's she about? And so I paid my PR company a monthly retainer of like $4,500 just to get invited to events and just to try get on radio stations and to try. So I would fly from Cape Town at least
Jeez.
2-3 times a month just to attend events because people needed to see who I was and people needed to, okay, who's this Kim Jade girl?
Mm.
Is she here? And that's what I did. And it was eating into my account like crazy, but
Jeez.
I knew that's what I needed to do. I needed a soft introduction into Joburg before I just made the full transition.
Now you went and you took your own money and just put it in the hustle and you were hoping that this works out and you
yeah.
were not quite sure if
yeah.
it is going to work out,
yeah.
but you just did it anyway.
And at that point I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew I was blogging and I liked blogging.
Mm-hmm.
And I also knew that here in Joburg, clients take you a lot more seriously and are willing to pay you for your time and effort.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to come to Joburg. But I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
And tell me, did you have anybody saying this is a bad idea?
Everyone. Everyone was like, what the F are you thinking? Because at this point, I'm now a successful established model. I'm mm-hmm. booking international commercials like that show worldwide.
Wow.
I'm making serious money and I have my own place. I have my friends. My whole world is in Cape Town.
Mm.
And then I was like, no, but I want to go to Joburg. And my mom and my pa actually sat me down and they're like, we don't think this is a good idea. You're coming here with no job security, nothing. And we just against it. And in December, just before Christmas, I was like, I'm doing it. I let my landlord know. I was like, this will be the last month I'm here. I'm moving to Joburg.
Sure. So
that's really how it happened.
And then Jimmy comes to Joburg. In this case, Kimmy comes to Joburg. Yeah. Shucks. And then you land in Joburg. Okay, where do we start? Who do we know?
Yeah. What I did was I started reaching out via Instagram
mm-hmm.
to different brands. And I was like, can I shoot using stuff from your store? And I'll include it, the tagging. I'll tag you on Instagram and I'll give you credit in my blog. And by then I was obviously not earning an income. So I reached out to photographers and I'm like, I'm new to Joburg. I would like to shoot. I don't have money though.
Mm.
And they're like, cool, we're keen to collaborate. And that's how it started. I just started collaborating with cool stores that had nice stuff and photographer friends, especially my friend Kaylin. He did all my first shoots for free. He's so sweet. And 2 months into it, money's now running dry.
Yeah.
Because no money is coming in. And in February, the first week of February, Melanie Trichardt from Viacom. So Viacom is the umbrella that owns BET, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, MTV Base, and MTV.
Mm.
She emailed me through my Instagram and was like, we had a look at your Insta. Are you interested in coming for a screen test?
Mm.
And I replied immediately. I was like, sure, I would love to. Name the time and place. I'm there. She's like, okay, cool. Come tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I went in for the screen test. And it was very intimidating because I have very little experience already, you know, presenting. I had maybe done 4 or 5 fashion weeks, but nothing in studio.
Mm.
And I went in and they're like, okay, we're going to pay you with this dude. He happened to be a guy that I was following on Insta. So we kind of knew who each other were. And they're like, we're paying you guys up. We're going to put you on camera. You're going to give us the news.
Sure.
Just like that.
Yo.
There's no script. And then I did it. And the next day, I remember I was in H&M with my mom shopping. And they called and they're like, you got the job. And I was like, what? Oh my God. I started crying. I was like, Mal, I know I'm supposed to be cool, but I cannot be cool in this moment. And that's how I got the job.
And then you became
crazy. Through Instagram.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now look at you. Now you're on MTV.
Yes.
And things are just working out.
God is good, man. God
yeah.
is good.
Absolutely amazing. And it had to take that betting on yourself, putting your own money on the line, having your whole family saying no, all your friends saying no, and everybody saying, I don't know what happened to you. What's up? Bwasakhias is in you right now. You are possessed. Please, just stop this.
I think, but when God tells you, go.
Yeah.
And I was stressing because I had no money.
Yeah.
And rent was due. My parents were making me pay rent. Because they're like, you need to still have responsibilities. It's going to keep you driven. I was like, cool. There came a month. I was like, I don't have money. I don't have money for rent. And then, lo and behold, a week later, I got the job. So,
wow.
You know.
Absolutely fantastic. Now, what has this journey taught you?
I'm still learning.
Yeah.
I really am. Every single day is a learning curve. And the scary thing is that from when I got the job, so we started shooting in April.
Mm.
And so from then, I've been on TV screens every week.
Yeah.
From then until now, the amount of attention that I've been getting, it's crazy.
Mm.
I was so not ready for it. I was so not ready for the brands that are throwing themselves at me and the work that is coming my way. And now emceeing jobs often come with presenting, which is incredible. And I had a taste of it last year because I emceed the first 2 Corona festivals in Joburg and Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 5,000 people each, which is big.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's consistent. And that's a whole other like league. There's no school for emceeing.
Wow.
How to stand in front of people and get them hyped and keep the energy up. I'm constantly learning. But the thing that I think will always keep me on the right track is just go with your gut. Go with your gut. When you're nervous, pray. When you really need advice, ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. What a journey, man. All the way. I mean, started off in Zimbabwe, yeah. Bulawayo, and...
Yes. Oh, you said it right. Well done. Right?
And then it grew and grew and grew.
Yeah.
Stellenbosch. I mean... Old age homes.
Yeah.
What?
It's like I've lived like five lives.
And then you became a model, fashion model, right? And that went international. You were booking big gigs, though you were too short and this and that. All the naysayers would say, you can't do it because of this and that and that and that. Yeah. And you decided, let me not listen to why not. Let me just try.
Why not?
Apparently, like what I have this thing where it's as if your life has been shown to you like a movie, right? But when you were born, you saw your whole life and you saw how it's all going to play out. And then all you have now to remind you of the actual movie is this tiny voice that tells you that certain things are the right things. Mm-hmm. Like it says, that's the right way. You're doing it right.
Yeah.
But then sometimes we don't listen to that voice and it becomes really faint and small when we're not listening to it. But the more you listen to it, the louder it becomes.
Yeah.
And the easier it starts to be to trust that gut to say, I think I'm doing the right thing. And then you go and you go and go. And then things work out and you're like, yeah, I told you. But the thing is with that, only the only secret is only you saw the movie. No one else did.
Yeah.
So no one else knows how it's going to end. Everyone else, like when you're watching, let's say, Van Damme, you're right, you're watching a movie of Van Damme, and then you think, run! You know, there's a certain part of the movie where you're like, run!
Yeah.
And you're thinking, no, don't pick up the phone.
Yeah.
But he, like, he, let's say, doesn't do what you were supposed, what you would have done, but then life works out in the movie. And then you realize from that sometimes the onlookers, what they think is the right thing might not actually be the right thing. The person in the movie is the only one who can really, you know, do the right thing because it's their movie, guys.
But I think a message that needs to go out to young people is not that you need to see the whole movie.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't. I'm sure you didn't.
True.
You know, what you need to do is like, okay, I need to see the next step. Because you have to have a vision for yourself in order for other people to buy it and believe in it, right? Mm.
And you have to trust it.
Totally.
Also.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's unsure steps. Yes. I mean, I mean, all of these were unsure steps. Every 4,000 that came out of your pocket for that PR company, and also every flight that you actually took out of your own money to pay, and then, I mean, it's 10 grand later, and nothing actually happened.
Yeah.
Just a couple of people just side-eyed you, and you're thinking, I wonder if this is even worth it. Mm-hmm. What am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And those are questions that also come up in your mind.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
I ask myself that at least 10 times a day.
Is this even worth it? But look at you. You know, you're still evolving and you're still growing and things are actually falling into place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. And this is actually the cool part of what we try to show in the show is that there's inner conversations that happen with all of us, no matter where you are in life, how far you've come or how far you still have to go.
Mm.
But there's some points in time where you're going to have to start tapping into internal voices and saying, you know what, I'm going to have to listen to my gut on this one.
Yeah.
Yes, I know what you guys are saying. And sometimes you guys are talking the truth. But now and again, here and there, you're going to have to listen to what you're saying inside and you have to go with that.
Yep.
And it's really cool to get another person and then another person and another person who says that it's worked out for them and they're well on their way to success. And here's you literally took like a couple of off ramps. Like the first off ramp was from, being a social working type of person dealing with people in that department to being a model. And then you became a full time model.
Yeah.
And then you had to take another off ramp. And then even another one, moving location as well. And it's still working out because that's how life is, right?
Ooh, touch wood for now. For now, okay.
No. Tomorrow goes. Here's the thing. The other part that's important is that when things work out and when things are moving and you feel like you have this momentum, I've heard once that you need to make sure that the internal conversations, you keep them in control, because whatever you think will come to you. So you mustn't be like, this is too good to be true. Something's going to happen. Because normally when you think something's going to happen,
something happens.
Something actually does. Mm-hmm. So it's important that while you're on this road and things are going well, that you say, good things are supposed to happen to me.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Good is normal.
You do,
yeah.
Do you do this to yourself?
Good is here to stay.
You tell yourself these things?
You have to tell
really?
Yourself these things.
Okay. I'll try it out.
Try it out. And we'll have another chat in about a year from now.
Yeah.
When you're making a million.
Hey! Yes!
Yeah.
Making a million, boy. Thank you.
That's the way. That's the way. So now what we want to know, because you've been in South Africa for a while now. How long has it been?
Going on 10 years.
10 years. You know, citizenship,
wait,
Baba.
Bruh, can the SA government give me citizenship? Holla, anybody out there?
So, 10 years in, we need to know how well you know South Africa. This might the questions you get asked before you get given citizenship.
Oh, no!
You know, like in America, they in America, they ask you a series of questions.
Yes, they do that in Australia as well.
Yeah, to find out how well you know the country.
Okay.
And we're going to do the same thing with you. Cool. 10 questions, and we'll see how you score. If you pass, then you can get citizenship. If you fail,
it's a guarantee. Can I get that in writing? Can I get this in writing?
Well, you'll get Cliff Central Unplugged and in Charge citizenship.
So okay. Gareth will hook me up. Hey Gareth, hook me up.
All right, cool. So here it is. Question number one.
Yeah.
How high is the unemployment rate in South Africa?
High.
Is it? Yes.
Yes.
No, percentages.
Okay.
Is it 16%? 24%? 31%? 36%?
I'm going to go 36, eh?
Hey, you just want to put us up there.
How high is it? It's high though, right?
Okay, cool. Your answer is 36. 36 is wrong.
Well, how high is it?
Wrong. It's only 24%.
Okay.
All right, cool. Next question coming up in a short little while. Let's see if you get the next one right. Okay, cool. So one down, 9 to go. You can still get the citizenship. Let's find out. What do you think you're going to miss if you move to South Africa? Let's say, for instance, now, if you get the citizenship, here you're just stating your opinion. Really.
Okay.
It's not really a wrong or right one.
But it will be right.
Who knows, right? Is it? Are you going to miss electricity? Because of load shedding.
Oh, you're talking about what am I going to miss from Zimbabwe?
Yeah, when you come here. Are you going to miss electricity? A comfortable bed?
We have beds in Zimbabwe.
No,
you
listen,
are rude.
You don't understand. It's the other way around. It's saying if
I get forced to go back to Zimbabwe, what will I miss from South Africa?
No. It's saying if you come to South Africa.
Yes. What will I miss from Zimbabwe?
Yes.
So you're implying there's no comfortable beds in Zimbabwe?
No, the other way around.
I'm going to pick up this chair, son.
The other way.
In your face, son.
Listen. Listen to the crap. She is so defensive.
So I'm so spicy.
This is coming from online, by the way. It's not coming from me.
Okay.
What do you think you are going to miss if you move to South Africa?
All right.
That means
what do I think I'm going to miss?
That means that it was there in your home country and it's not here.
Yeah, I feel you.
Here. Mara, defensive.
Hey, listen, this is Zimbabwe. I'm gonna speak up for my people. I'm gonna try break all of these taboo nonsenses you guys are spreading. That we have a crazy country. My country is beautiful. We have very comfortable beds.
Yeah,
we have electricity occasionally.
We've seen the Mugabe quotes. All right, cool.
He's a hell of a guy, that bump guy. Yeah.
Electricity, a comfortable bed, running water, or a bulletproof jacket?
Yo. Y'all are spicy online today. Well, damn. No, I'm going to miss electricity.
Electricity. Okay, cool. That one, obviously, you can't get it right or wrong. It's just an opinion.
So I got it right.
Yeah. You got that one right. Cool. So, why is it saying incorrect? I don't know why it's saying incorrect, my bro. We're just going to skip that one because, I mean, it's right. Okay, cool. Here's the next. Between which ocean is South Africa located? So you can't get this one right or wrong. Is it between the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic and the Indian, or the Pacific and the Indian, or Pacific Ocean and the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean?
You kept saying Pacific Indian.
Yeah,
Pacific,
man.
Ocean.
Pacific.
You mean Pacific.
I was talking fast. It happens.
Well, South Africa is surrounded by all three. Especially. No, wait.
Pick
guys, geography
answer.
Was never my thing. Okay, I know it's definitely Indian.
Uh-huh,
definitely.
Because we got Indians here, yeah.
What kind of show is this?
Which other one?
Wait, Indian and Pacific.
Indian and Pacific?
Is that an option?
Is that your final answer?
Yes, sir.
All right. It is her answer. Let's find out. Well, you are wrong again.
Listen.
It's Atlantic.
I'm a presenter.
Atlantic.
And social worker.
And Indian.
Ask me about people's problems. I'll give you all the answers. Talk to me. How do you feel today?
Oh, wow.
How do you feel about that?
Okay, cool. Fourth question. We're almost there. What is the capital of South Africa?
Hey.
What is the capital of South Africa? Is it Pretoria, Durban, Cape Town, or Joburg?
Pretoria. Yeah.
Are you getting a help?
The people on Insta Live are giving me the answers. Hey,
okay.
Guys.
Let's see. Well, that answer is correct.
Praise
I see the
God.
People from Insta are trying to keep you
no,
in
shame,
South
they're
Africa.
Not helping. Shame, they're not helping.
All guys, right, cool.
Help.
Here's the next one. What are you going to tolerate if you move to South Africa? So, again, not, it's
okay,
not right or
but
wrong.
But I'm going to get it right.
Sharing a room with one or more foreigners. Getting a disease as a consequence of bad hygiene, getting in trouble because of the color of your skin, or being chased by a monkey.
If you move here, those are things that will happen. Oh, those are the options.
These are the options. I don't know where this. This is from a pro prof quiz maker.
Hey, so, pro prof, you're confusing us all. Actually, yeah. Do I even want to live here if those are my options? Okay, well, I already lived in a share house with 10 Nigerian and Congolese people when I was a broke and struggling model.
Yo.
So I really did that. What is the other... Tell me what the other
getting
things are.
Getting a disease as a consequence of bad hygiene?
No, I'm very clean. And
right.
I believe the people around...
Even when you worked
at
another hospital, you didn't touch something that...
No, we weren't allowed to touch the patients.
Okay.
What kind of... What?
No.
What do you think?
Listen.
No, I hear what you say.
Yo, this girl.
Okay, the other option. No, I want to, you know, it can't be easy for you. Your life needs to be exciting. I'm
getting
adding
in,
some excitement.
Getting in trouble because of the color of your skin?
That actually happened in Stellenbosch. I was turned away from a club because I was
Whoa.
Brown. That actually happened.
Wow.
The only thing that hasn't happened is being chased by a monkey.
Yeah, if
which
you go
I
to
feel like
city,
no,
happen.
I feel like that's more likely in Zimbabwe. You need to go to Victoria Falls.
Yeah,
they are the size of like 5-year-old those monkeys,
Whoa.
Baboons. They are violent.
The real deal.
The real deal.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
I'm afraid of the disease thing, although I think that's the most ignorant thing. Like that's not even possible.
Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. So.
Your guys' show is mental. I'm coming back.
Fantastic. Okay. Cool. Just because of time, we're gonna wrap it up with the last question. How many official languages are spoken in South Africa? I'm gonna get hit this one right.
Ooh, I know this one actually.
3, 5 to 7, 8, 11, or over 11. She's
I'm
asking,
feeling, no,
asking.
No, 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 I know. I'm using
She's
him
cheating.
As a soundboard. It's either 7 or 11. I feel like it's 7.
So you're saying 7? Final answer?
Y'all have a million languages. We have 3 in Zimbabwe. It's very simple.
All right. You are incorrect, ma'am.
It's 11, right?
Yes,
okay.
It's 11. You know what? By the way, that citizenship, I think it's still a long way to
Do
come.
You know what? I pay my taxes, and I'm contributing to the economy. And for those reasons alone, I should get citizenship.
Thank you so much. I think you contribute to the South African youth as well, just in terms of thought leadership. So thank you very much for being on the show.
You guys, I'm so honored and humbled to be here. Thank you for listening to my story. I appreciate it.
Fantastic. Yet again, guys, the shortest hour in the week, and we have to wrap it up now. Spoh, last words?
Yo, man, the last words are that people must just follow us on Twitter to get the podcast. It's at Spoh Kuzi. Or they can just also inbox you, tag you, at Where's That Guy. And they must just keep on hashtagging us on Unplugged Radio Show.
Yeah, man. Guys, you keep on doing that thing. We're wrapping out with Kim Jade.
Woo!
It's been absolutely fantastic.
This is CliffCentral.com.